Silo 18. 13. An empty cleaning suit lay spread across the workbench, one of its arms draped over the edge, elbow bent at an unnatural angle. The unblinking visor of the detached helmet gazed silently up at the ceiling. The small screen inside the helmet had been removed to leave a clear plastic window out on the real world. Juliet leaned over the suit, occasional drops of sweat smacking its surface, as she tightened the hex screws that held the lower collar onto the fabric. She remembered the last time she'd built a suit like this. Nelson, the young IT tech in charge of the cleaning lab, labored at an identical bench on the other side of the workshop. Juliet had selected him as her assistant for this project. He was familiar with the suits, young, and didn't appear to be against her. Not that the first two criteria mattered. "The next item we need to discuss is the population report," Marcia said. The young assistant, an assistant Juliet had never asked for, juggled a dozen folders until she found the right one. Recycled paper lay strewn across the neighboring workbench, turning an area for building things into a lowly desk. Juliet glanced up and watched as Marcia shuffled through a folder. Her assistant was a slight girl, just out of her teens, graced with rosy cheeks and dark hair in tight coils. Marcia had been the assistant to the last two mayors, a short but tumultuous span of time. Like the gold ID card in the apartment on level 6, she had come with the job. "Here it is," Marcia said. She bit her lip and scanned the report, and Juliet saw that it was printed on one side only. The amount of paper her office went through and repulped could afford to feed an apartment level for a year. Lucas had once joked that it was to keep the recyclers in business. The chance he was right had kept her from laughing. "Can you hand me those gaskets?" Juliet asked, pointing to Marcia's side of the workbench. The young girl pointed to a bin of lock washers, and then an assortment of cotter pins. Finally, her hand drifted over the gaskets. Juliet nodded. "Thanks. So, we're under 5,000 residents for the first time in 30 years, Marcia said, returning to her report. "We've had a lot of passings." Juliet could feel Marcia glance up at her, even as she concentrated on seating the gasket into the collar. "The lottery committee is calling for an official count, just so we can get a sense of—" "The lottery committee would perform a census every week if they could." Juliet rubbed oil onto the gasket with her finger before seating the other side of the collar. Marcia laughed blithely. "Yes, well, they want to hold another lottery soon. They asked for another 200 numbers. "Numbers," Juliet grumbled. Sometimes she thought that was all Lucas's computers were good for. A bunch of tall machines to pull numbers from their whirring butts. "Did you tell them my idea about an amnesty? They do know we're about to double our space, right?" Marcia shifted uncomfortably. "I told them," she said. "And I told them about the extra space. I don't think they took it so well." Across the workshop, Nelson looked up from the suit he was working on. It was just the three of them in the old lab where people had once been outfitted to die. Now they were working on something else, a different reason to send people outside. "Well, what did the committee say?" Juliet asked. "They do know that when we reach this other silo, I'm going to need people to come with me and get it up and running again. The population here is going to dip." Nelson bent back to his work. Marcia closed the folder on the population report and looked at her feet. "What did they say to my idea of suspending the lottery?"
"They didn't say anything," Marcia said.
She glanced up, and the overhead lights caught the wet film across her eyes.
"I don't think many of them believe in your other silo."
Juliet laughed and shook her head. Her hand was trembling as she set the last lock screw into the collar. "It doesn't really matter what the committee believes, does it?" Though she knew this was true of her as well, it was true of anyone. The world out there was the way it was, no matter how much doubt or hope or hate a person breathed into it.
"The dig is underway. They're clearing 300 feet a day. I suppose the lottery committee will just have to make the trip down to see for themselves. You should tell them that. Tell them to go see."
Marcia frowned and made a note.
"The next thing on the agenda," she grabbed her ledger. "There's been a rash of complaints about—"
There was a knock at the door. Juliet turned, and Lucas entered the suit lab, smiling. He waved at Nelson, who saluted back with a 3/8 wrench. Lucas seemed unsurprised to see Marcia there. He clasped her shoulder.
"You should just move that big wooden desk of hers down here," he joked. "You've got the porting budget for it."
Marcia smiled and tugged at one of her dark springs. She looked around the lab.
"I really should," she said. Juliet watched her young assistant blush in Lucas's presence and laughed to herself. The helmet locked into the collar with a neat click. Juliet tested the release mechanism.
Do you mind if I borrow the mayor? Lucas asked.
No, I don't mind, Marcia said. I do. Juliet studied one of the suit's sleeves. We're way behind schedule.
Lucas frowned. There is no schedule. You set the schedule. And besides, have you even gotten permission for this?
He stood beside Marcia and crossed his arms.
Have you even told your assistant what you're planning?
Juliet glanced up guiltily. Not yet.
Why, what are you doing?
Marcia lowered her ledger and studied the suits for what seemed the first time. Juliet ignored her. She glared at Lucas.
I'm behind schedule because I want to get this done before they complete the dig. They've been on a tear, hit some soft soil. I'd really like to be down there when they punch through.
And I'd like for you to be at that meeting today, which you're going to miss if you don't get a move on.
I'm not going, Juliet said.
Lucas shot a look at Nelson, who set down his wrench, gathered Marcia, and slid out the door. Juliet watched them leave and realized her young Lucas had more authority than she gave him credit for.
It's the monthly town hall, Lucas said, the first since your election. I told Judge Picken you'd be there.
Jules, you've got to play mayor, or you won't be one for much longer.
Fine, she raised her hands. I'm not mayor, I so decree it.
She scrawled the air with a driver.
Signed and stamped.
Not fine. What do you think the next person will make of all this?
He waved his hand at the workbenches. You think you'll be able to play these games? This room will go right back to what it was built for in the first place.
Juliet bit down the urge to snap at him, to tell him these weren't games she was playing, that it was something far worse.
Lucas looked away from whatever face she was making. His eyes settled on the stack of books piled up by the cot she had brought in. She slept there sometimes when the two of them were disagreeing or when she just needed a place to be alone. Not that she'd slept much recently. She rubbed her eyes and tried to remember the last time she'd gotten 4 hours in a row. Her nights were spent welding in the airlock. Her days were spent in the suit lab or down behind the comm hub. She didn't really sleep anymore. She just passed out here and there.
We should keep those locked up, Lucas said, indicating the books. Shouldn't keep them out.
No one would believe them if they opened them, Juliet said.
For the paper.
She nodded. He was right. She saw information, others would see money.
I'll take them back down, she promised,
and the anger drained away like oil from a cracked casing. She thought of Elise, who had told her over the radio of a book she was making. A single book from all her favorite pages. Juliet needed a book like that. Except where Elise's was probably full of pretty fish and bright birds, Juliet's would catalog darker things. Things in the hearts of men. Lucas took a step closer. He rested a hand on her arm.
This meeting?
I hear they're thinking about a revote, Juliet said, cutting him off.
She wiped a loose strand of hair off her face, tucked it behind her ear.
I'm not going to be mayor for long anyway. Which is why I need to get this done. By the time everyone votes again, it shouldn't matter.
Why? Because you'll be the mayor of a different silo by then? Is that your plan?
Juliet rested a hand on the domed helmet.
No, because I'll have my answers by then. Because people will see by then. They'll believe me.
Lucas crossed his arms. He took a deep breath.
I've got to get down to the servers, he said. If no one's there to answer the call, the lights eventually start flashing in the offices and everyone asks what the hell they're for.
Juliet nodded. She'd seen it for herself. She also knew that Lucas liked the long talks behind the server as much as she did. Except that he was better at it. All her talks led to arguments. He was good at smoothing things over, figuring things out.
Please tell me you'll go to the meeting, Jules. Promise me you'll go.
She scanned the suit on the other table to see how far along Nelson was. They'd need one more suit for the extra person in the second airlock. If she worked through the night and all day tomorrow...
For me, he pleaded.
I'll go.
Thank you.
Lucas glanced at the old clock on the wall, its red arms visible behind hazed plastic.
I'll see you for dinner?
Sure.
He leaned forward and kissed her on the cheek. When he turned to go, Juliet began arranging her tools on the leather pad, setting them aside for later. She picked up a clean cloth and wiped her hands. Oh, and Luke?
Yeah?
He paused at the door. Tell that fucker I said hello.